Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kinnear, Community Health Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you for listening today. On today's show, we are going to talk about summer food safety. And my guest, if you wouldn't know, is registered dietitian Barbara Pratt. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. How are you?
And Barb is the manager of nutrition services at Wayne Memorial Hospital, right?
Correct.
And how long have you been?
A long time. Really long time. 21 years.
Wow. Yes, I know. And we worked together for many of those years together. So I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Good.
So can you tell our audience a little bit about food safety, because we are in the summer months?
Right. And the thing about the warmer weather is that the conditions are great for having picnics and parties and barbecues and doing a lot of fun outdoor stuff. But it also provides a perfect environment for bacteria and other pathogens in food to multiply rapidly.
Right. Especially, lately with all the rain and the humidity and the hot temperatures. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of, give some guidelines to our audience on having summer outings and food?
Sure, of course. First of all, if you are catering to or preparing food for a large group of people, like a graduation party, one of the examples I had on my list, picnics, parties, graduation, or a rodeo, which, I don't know anybody who's having a rodeo, but any large groups that you're preparing food for, if you prepare the food first, which you would, typically hot foods, put it in very shallow pans and refrigerate it well. If it's in a shallow pan, it will get down to the right temperature much more quickly than if you put it in a big, tall pot or a larger pan. So that's one thing to think about if there are larger groups involved and you're cooking prior to that. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that ice is food too. Because ice is frequently used for cold holding, it's possible to forget that ice can be a route of transmission of contamination. So if you're handling ice with dirty hands or utensils that, have been used for other foods, then that potentially can cause contamination. And this is a piece that you don't always think about. I wouldn't even necessarily quickly think about that, but it's important to keep ice for drinks separate from the ice that you use for cooling foods and beverages.
So if you have a cooler full of drinks, right? And you put it on ice, it's not always the best idea to stick your hand in that cooler then, right? And pull those ice and put it in a cup and use that to cool
the drink. Correct, because even, the outsides of the containers can be dirtier, not sanitary or anything. And interestingly, bacteria and viruses can survive in ice. You think that ice would kill it, but that's not the case.
Right, because it really has to be basically really, really frigid temperatures to, destroy. And like you said, even sometimes in Alaska or, the Antarctic, there is still bacteria and viruses that survive.
Correct, and those pathogens are pretty virulent, so they can survive in those conditions.
Right.
So we're going to talk about the 7 steps to potentially reduce or eliminate or prevent any issues. So first of all is, I'm not going to sing this, but wash your hands. So you sing it to row, row, row your boat twice to get the sense of how long you should wash your hands for. So that's always number one, of course. We all know that after surviving through the pandemic and everything. Secondly, always marinate your food in the refrigerator. Don't use sauce that was used to marinate raw meat or poultry on cooked food, which I think is obvious, but you can reserve a portion of the unused marinade to use as sauce, when you mix up your marinade and set that aside, but it shouldn't. If it had been on the raw meat, you don't want to use it for anything else. Also, when grilling foods, you want to preheat well and use a food thermometer to ensure that food is the proper temperature. A lot of people don't use a food thermometer, and it's an important thing to do to assure that food is cooked to the proper temperature. So hamburgers should be cooked to 160 degrees. Large cuts of beef, like roasts or steaks, can be cooked to 145 if you want them medium rare, or 160 degrees for medium, and poultry must reach a temperature of 165 degrees.
Can I just interrupt for one second with the meat? And I noticed, you know, you mentioned a different temperature for the hamburgers, the chopped meat, and it's because it's ground, correct?
Correct.
And there's more chances for bacteria or germs in that ground meat versus a solid piece of meat, right?
Exactly.
Okay, because some people might question, like, why the difference between a, you know, a steak or a roast?
Because there's an increased surface area, ultimately, when it's ground and, you know, put together.
Okay, so are we on number six now?
Where are we? We're on number six. So stay away from that same old plate when you're taking the food off the grill. Again, I think this is pretty obvious, but you shouldn't, you know, you have your raw food on a plate and you're putting it on the grill. Then when you take the cooked food off the grill, it should go on a clean plate. Also, in hot, wet, so I want to discuss the two-hour rule. Any food that is left unrefrigerated, like you're outside at a picnic or, on your deck having a party or something, if food is left at unrefrigerated more than 2 hours, it should be discarded. In hot weather, if it's over 90 degrees, and it's been like that a lot lately, foods should never sit out for more than 1 hour before going back in the refrigerator.
Right.
So that's important to keep in mind.
And even if you have it on sternos, right? And even if you have it on ice, it just doesn't keep it at the correct temperature, right?
No.
Right?
Almost never would it be, you know, at refrigerator temperature. You know, we'll talk about the temperatures it should be at. Well, we call it the danger zone from 40 to 140. So a full cooler will maintain its cold temperatures longer than one that's partially filled. So pack plenty of extra ice or freezer packs to ensure a constant cold temperature. Keep the cooler out of direct sun. Keep drinks in a separate cooler from foods. And the remember the beverage cooler is opened frequently, so it's not going to maintain its temperature as well. And I have a couple of websites that people can readily access to get information. www.fightback.org, fight back without the K, fightbac.org, or www.foodsafety.gov. Those are two good sites to access for food safety information.
Right. And, you know, thinking of having that food out, small batches, too, like you can keep, you know, like if you're going to put macaroni salad out or potato salad, you can put them in smaller containers over ice. When that one gets empty, you can discard that and put a fresh one out. Right.
Yep.
Would that be something that you would recommend?
Yes. For sure.
Yes, definitely. Especially when you're having a big party, you know, towards the end, people don't eat as quickly. So having smaller amounts out is better.
Right.
Then you don't waste food either.
Being mindful of that, you know, as you're swapping food in and out.
So we talked about the food safety part, but what about grilling? Do you have any, you know, suggestions on grilling safety?
Yes, so these are also some tips that people maybe might not be as aware of. So we're going to keep your interest. Grilled foods have a refrigerator life of only 3 to 4 days. So if you're grilling out and then you put the food in the refrigerator, once it's not outside longer than 2 hours, then only should really only be good for 3 to 4 days. Also, be sure to reheat those kinds of foods to an internal temperature of 165 degrees before you serve it a second time. And again, use a food thermometer to check that. Always keep your grill clean. Follow the manufacturer's instructions to clean your grill. Obviously, that's, you know, an important thing too, just like washing your hands. Data shows that mayonnaise is America's top-selling condiment, followed by salsa, ketchup, and mustard. So remember that condiments should also not be left sitting out more than 2 hours and 1 hour in weather above 90 degrees. So you can have a separate cooler again, stock up on your coolers to keep condiments in a bucket of ice, for example. So those are, you know, some other important ideas. The other thing about grilling is that you should use clean utensils or separate utensils from the grill if you don't want to wash them in between. So we having two sets of utensils, one for raw meats and the other set for cooked foods. You know, if you're grilling vegetables, for example, or potato or something is helpful.
Mm-hmm. I do that, actually. You know, when I mm-hmm. put a piece of meat on the grill or even burgers, even, you know, my spatula that I flip it over with, mm-hmm. you know, I'll use it once. You know, you put the meat on,
right.
flip the burgers, and then I go in and I wash it again before I, you know, take my meats off. Because I'm afraid of yes. the bacteria. And,
correct.
You know, having a little bit of knowledge with nutrition yeah. in the background, I'm aware of that. But I think some people may not... Yeah. Realize, especially chicken, right?
It's not something like, you think of.
Right.
You know, might
all the
think
time.
Of. And another thing you don't think of is that if you're using the same dish towel multiple times to wipe your hands and clean up spills at the grill, that can spread bacteria. So you can use paper towels instead, disposable wipes, but save the dish towels for drying your clean hands and dishes and, you know, use disposable ones instead. Because, you know, again, that's just something... you might not think of.
Right.
Lastly, when you grill or broil meat, poultry, or fish, it's good to marinate it for at least 30 minutes because that reduces the potential production of hydrocyclic amines, which I will going forward refer to it as HCCAs. HCAs. So they are potential carcinogens. They are cancer causing. And marinating them first reduces the production of those HCAs. Also, choosing lean cuts of meat, trim remaining fat, cover the grill with punctured aluminum foil, and turn the meat with tongs or a spatula so as not to pierce the aluminum foil. When meat or fat, meat juices and fat drip down and causes the flame to flare up and char the meat, that's what has the potential to cause those HCAs. So grill it for less time. You can pre-cook it in the microwave, for example, and then briefly grill it for flavor. Avoid charring by flipping the meat frequently. If it does char, you can cut away the blackened parts. And this is a great idea. Oh, mm-hmm. We nutrition people just love this. Grill veggie burgers, tofu, vegetables, and fruits more often because they don't produce those carcinogens when cooking.
Oh, see, actually, I should have known that, but I really didn't even think about that. So that is some great advice. But yes, that, you know, the veggie burgers and the vegetables, I loved grilled zucchini. Now is yes. the time for zucchini. Grilled
right.
zucchini on the barbecue
zucchini.
Is awesome.
Gosh mm-hmm. darn everything.
I know.
They're, you know, growing like crazy.
Which is a great thing. So we only have about 2 minutes left. So I mean, all the information that you shared today, Barb, has been very, very helpful. And I hope, you know,
good.
Individuals mm-hmm. really listen to it. And, you know, the nice part now is they can re-listen to it. So now, because we have it listed on our website
yeah.
after the show airs. So if you missed anything, you could always re-listen to it at WOMH.org.
Right. And finally, we can get out and about again and together and,
exactly.
you know, do these kinds of things, but you want to do it safely so there's no foodborne illness involved.
Right. But you also, you know, as a registered dietitian, you know, you do these wonderful shows with us, but you also do nutritional counseling.
Yes.
That's your main...
a lot.
Yeah, your job. clinical, both inpatient and outpatient. So
correct.
If someone had a question about today's show,
mm-hmm.
or if they have a nutrition question, or they want to come in for counseling, what number can they call?
570-253-8164. And we contract with all the area community health centers. So if you attend any of those centers and you wish to have nutrition counseling, there is not a cost to you because of our contract with them. So don't hesitate to ask your doctor if you need any assistance with weight management, high cholesterol, diabetes management, celiac disease, any of those, you know, anything at all that's nutrition related, which an awful lot of things are, including
right.
high blood pressure, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So ask your doctor and we can set up something to give you, you know, impart some helpful nutrition information.
Right. And there's many options for that too, in person, over the phone,
correct.
You know, mailing them out information. So
yes.
you have made it so easy for people to access that service,
which is
great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So Barb, for those of you that may be catching the tail end, I had Barbara Pratt just speaking speaking about summer food safety, which actually great information. Please listen to the show or re-listen to it to get all those key points that she talked about. So Barb, thank you again for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
And again, this is Carol Knier, Wayne Memorial Hospital Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day and thank you for listening.